Your voice.
Your life.
Your afternoon radio.
On 702 Afternoons.
With Relebogile Mabotja.
For our tech feature today at 14 minutes to 2 o'clock, we're doing a part two to the conversation we started last week around femtech. Today we're focusing on African femtech, and we're joined by Asonele Kotu, who is founder and CEO of Fem Connect. We take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Asonele, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invite. Happy to be with you.
Thank you. Please remind all of us what femtech is. Not just the fact that it is technology there to kind of be supporting women, but a bit more detail before we jump into specifically where we are as a continent.
So femtech started around, let's say, 2014 to 2015, but it's fairly new in Africa because it was mostly in the European countries where we started seeing people doing technologies that are geared towards supporting women's health, sexual and reproductive health. We started seeing period trackers and those kind of stuff. But it's something that we have now started to look into as Africans and say, oh, wow, we can learn about how to manage our bodies using technology, because after COVID, I think we all realize that we cannot just only rely on face-to-face engagement. And that's why we've seen the rise of femtech. And it's actually taken up by a storm in Africa, especially in the East Africa region, West Africa region, and South Africa is also picking up, where we are formulating and creating technologies that are geared to support women through reproductive health, maternal health, and various other feminine-related technologies that are supposed to help us health-wise.
So my question then would be, if somebody does not live in this continent and they would wonder why would Africa need its own femtech, why are they not just jumping on the bandwagon of the existing one, what would we say? And I mean, we've touched a little bit now like on health and cycles, for example. Maybe you can chat to us also on what is unique about the women of this continent that we would need something specifically for us.
That is actually one of the main reasons why we started doing the work that we're doing, because we found that context to local markets is everything. And I remember the first time that I started using a technology, reproductive health, it was either not available in my country. There was no local context of how it's going to help me from a South African perspective. So how we looked at it differently. We said, we have a problem of period poverty in South Africa, and not just in South Africa, in many other African countries, where we have large numbers of young girls missing out of school due to not having sanitary products. And when COVID came, some of those girls suffered mostly because schools were closed and they did not have access to the services that they were getting, because they were getting those services through school. The second one was that we usually have long waiting lines in our public health system. And you find that 60% of women in South Africa rely on public health for family planning services. And yet we do not have an online family planning platform that we could be able to get these services from. So we took it from a place of, we know the problems that we are dealing with locally. We know what affects us locally. Therefore, let's create let's remodel what is there, or recreate something that speaks to the user that we are dealing with in an African community, and where a person will understand the challenges that we are trying to bridge with this kind of technology.
And I think you've touched on factors that are obviously not just unique to Africa, but are very specific to those of us on this continent, like what you touched on with regards to period poverty. So what is the key intention behind femtech? Is it, you know, with you having FemConnect, is it getting as much data as possible so that we can actually solve these issues? Or what is the main thing? Because I think about the femtech apps that I use personally. I used What to Expect while I was pregnant. I use the Flow app to monitor my cycle. And whenever my gynae wants to ask questions, I'm like, there you go. There's the data. But outside of that, what is the bigger picture that we may not see outside of an individual small world?
So currently the challenges of data is something that we're still battling with, because you find that we want to reach as many women or as many young people, and we also want fathers and men to be able to use these technologies, because you get young girls that are being raised by males and they do not know what is ovulation, what is your menstrual cycle. Mm. And if we have these kind of technologies, there's no taboo in checking something on your phone and advising your daughter or your sister's child or whoever young female that you're living with in your home. So the data part is still a problem, because not a lot of people use these technologies. And you find that the communities that need the technologies most sometimes do not have access to internet connectivity. Mm-hmm. The second part is that the costs related to download. So what we started with an app. We realized, oopsie, people are not downloading the app much. Let's have a web version of it. So we had to adapt, because what the data set of someone in Europe who started a similar app will be completely different, because the connectivity issues that they're dealing with are completely different to us. And then the third part on our side, what we've figured out is that because we also do a hybrid outreach where we go out to schools and we go out to communities, we learned that there is a misconception or a lack of education around what fintech is. Mm. And when people start hearing what you can do with these apps, it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that there was something like that. So there's an educational gap missing there as well. Mm. So when we look at it from a holistic point of view, not just to provide the technology, but to be able to gather the data to say, this is where the need is. This is where we need to supply in terms of menstrual health. This is where the users are. These are the local clinics that they usually get contraceptive access to. And that process has been an ongoing process. And I think that's something that we all need to keep in our back of our head, because it's a new thing that we are introducing. People are starting to adapt, but we also need to be able to capture the data to say, this is what we found in our country. It has worked, and this is the reports. Because if you look at the FemTech reports, it usually speaks from a European or a USA perspective, and it just mentions, oh, and it's picking up in Africa, but there's no concrete statistics to say X amount of people are using FemTech technologies for XYZ. Yeah.
And I want to reiterate that FemTech is not obviously restricted to, you know, young girls who are starting their cycles or women who are pregnant. It also can track health and other data of an individual as a woman into menopause and beyond. I'm wondering, while this industry is doing the things that it's doing, where does government fit into the picture? Because the factors you mentioned are factors that are government specific. The factors that or some of the challenges that are faced also speak to government. And I want to speak to the public sector before we talk about who the other key players are in the private sector.
So in the public sector, I will say it's picking up very slow. And I think that the space that we were in was more appealing to investors that were from outside the country. I've spoken to a few people that are in the similar space that I'm in, and someone who's doing a mental health app, and I was like, that's amazing, because if you look at the life cycle of a person, all of these things, they speak to each other. Each of one of us is playing a specific role in a life cycle of a human being, whether it's a girl or a young woman or a male. But then we find that the support in terms of public health care and also the public health care sector saying we want to adopt these technologies and put them into our clinics is a bit slow, and that's where we want to take it. We want to say, look, we have a mobile app that can help you reduce the long lines that you have in your clinic. We have a online platform that will help you do deliveries to your people. In that way, processes go faster. It helps you with the service delivery. And it's a matter of the public sector speaking with the private sector and us startups to say, how do we work together? Because there's a gap that startups are filling, which is not plugged in into the public health system. And that's a bigger conversation that needs to be taken forward. And government needs to push their foot forward in how do we then bridge this gap and plug into in each other's systems so that we can have a fully functional and nicely operational health system that does not divide between rich and poor.
And then you spoke about outside investors that are jumping onto these apps that are really meant to be helping all of us. Where would you say, and I'd love you to use this opportunity to just appeal to South Africans, because it's not just those with money that are investing, also by using these platforms and apps, because the more users, the more accurate data.
Correct. And what I would say is that we always talk about supporting our home base first before going out to other places. And if we look for these mobile platforms, whether it's an online platform, there are locally produced technologies which we do not know are locally produced, but it's because they're not out there. And people tend to opt for what is largely used in other markets. So I would appeal that South Africans look inward and say, what is homegrown? And then we start supporting each other in our homegrown solutions before we step out to say, let's look at others. Also, from an investor perspective, if investors are looking into what can we aid in Africa, it's not just a matter of people coming out from there and saying, we want to aid South Africa, but also our local context, our local public sector. How do we help these emerging technologies fit into our economy and make our economy work better as a country? Because at the end of the day, each person has a block to fall in this big wall that we're building, which we want our country to be prosperous, but it's a matter of working together and not working in silos. So it comes from different angles, and yeah, it's a matter of let's support each other and let's build each other.
Final thoughts on African FemTech?
I think African FemTech is going to boom in the next 5 years because there are, like I said, a lot of young people that are doing amazing things. And I have been speaking to young students that are at a university level where in their practicals, they're already starting businesses that are geared towards FemTech. And I am blown away by the amount of talent that we have in this country. But it's just that we're not embracing it enough and we're not talking about these people that are doing many things. There are many others like us that are doing things in our little corners, but we're just not getting the shine and the light. And if those people are given the spotlight, our country would go to the next level because we are surrounded by so much talent in this country.
Asanele, thank you so, so much for chatting to us, and all the best on pushing the FemTech industry, especially with yours, FemConnect.